Hello and welcome back to the She's Plant-Based podcast. If you're new here, my name is Autumn. I'm a holistic health coach and the creator of She's Plant-Based. I am passionate about all things health and wellness. I'm active on Instagram and TikTok, sometimes YouTube, and I've been podcasting for a bit now and it's just been super fun. And I have my first guest on today. It is my boyfriend, Alex. I'm super excited to be talking about his social media detox. This just gained a lot of interest. I was posting his experience on my Instagram stories and a lot of people were just curious to hear about why he's doing this, his experience, what you've learned, how you can get started. So we answer all of those questions. And yeah, stay tuned. It's a really awesome episode. Hello and welcome back to the podcast. I have a very exciting guest and my first guest on the pod, Alex, my boyfriend. This episode has honestly been one of my most highly requested episodes. If you've been following along back in October, Alex started a 30-day social media detox. I was sharing his daily notes the first half and so many of you were interested. We know how addicting social media can be with our phones. We all struggle with setting phone boundaries and social media boundaries. I personally go through waves with social media on my phone. Sometimes I'm feeling super inspired and other times I feel drained. It can be a scary feeling to fully detach and go off the grid because there are pros with social media. I think the biggest thing is community, friends, education. This is what I do for a living and it's something that I love, but I definitely have my days. Our phones can feel like a vortex. You can be scrolling for hours and not realize it. You almost forget that you're human. And when you stop, you're like, well, wait, where did the time go? And how is my day already over? How is it 2 a.m.? All right, now we got the star of the show, Alex. He's going to give a little introduction.
Hey, I'm Alex. I'm from L.A. originally, not a transplant. But I do tech sales for work. And yeah, I guess we're going to be talking about my social media detox here. It was quite a journey, but I think that there's a lot of lessons to be learned from going through something like this. And for some people, it could be transformational and maybe a little bit anxious, but I think a lot of people are willing to try it. So get right into it.
Yeah, I'm excited. I have a lot of questions lined up for him. And then I had you guys send me in questions and there was a lot of good questions. So we'll get to that at the very end. But let me just give a little bit of a backstory about us. I'm not going to fully dive into our relationship, but Alex and I met back in January of 2020, like the end of the month. We knew each other before because of friends, and I had a crush on Alex. And then we reconnected in last January of 2020 at a wine night with friends. Shout out Skylar Sorkin for setting us up. Yeah, we met. We've talked every day since then, and then we've officially been dating since April 5th. But we definitely want to record a couple's episode talking about our relationship and so forth, but we're not going to get into that. Okay, so the first question I have is, what was your relationship like with your phone and social media before the detox, and why did you decide to do the social media detox?
Okay, so I think I'll start here. When I was young, I've always been kind of addicted to new information and finding like some external stimulus for my mind. So, you know, when we were young and we're hooked on social media and on YouTube and, you know, watching TV, it just becomes kind of an outlet for us to, or not even an outlet, but I'd say something that traps us in a cycle of never-ending information. And you know, my mind needed that source. So, you know, I'd be constantly on my phone, to the detriment, I think, of my relationships and my work. You know, my relationship with YouTube especially has been, I think, probably the most harmful because I'm always watching some stupid video that, or I was always watching some stupid video that didn't really help me at all and was just something fun to watch. It wasn't really helping me in my life or helping me become more present. So, yeah, I just figured it was time to make some kind of change and commit to a project that allowed me to become more of myself in a way. Kind of get back to that feeling of, I guess, being a kid, you know, when you're in elementary school and you're playing in the grass and smelling all the smells and kind of getting excited about everything again, as opposed to just needing like the next hit of dopamine that you get from, you know, some funny, stupid video or someone sends you a meme, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's instant gratification. Well, when Alex and I were dating, the first thing that he would do is go on YouTube. He'd be on his phone in the shower. I was like, oh my God. He always has to be like, sitting and watching to something. Whereas like, I don't know, I feel like for guys, YouTube is a very big thing. Whereas for me, Instagram and TikTok.
I mean, I deleted TikTok really early on because I realized that the algorithm was too good and it would have actually ruined my life. Like, it's so powerful that it would have ruined my relationships. It would have ruined my friendships. It would have ruined my work. Like, it just, it was way too addicting. So that's something I knew I definitely couldn't have. Like, I was able to set that restriction, but other things still kind of took over.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like TikTok's honestly the most addicting. I feel like the algorithm is crazy and it knows what you want. The fact that like these videos are seconds and literally just capture your attention and you can spend hours and hours and hours on there. I feel like ever since TikTok, like our attention spans have definitely
gotten, yeah. It's funny because we'll be watching a TikTok together and we'll go through 15 seconds. And if something hasn't happened that's eventful enough, we'll switch to another TikTok.
Right.
Even though, like, I bet it would have been funny if we had just watched 3 seconds later.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, TikTok was way too detrimental for me. And one thing that I think is really bad about TikTok is it gets you hooked immediately. Mm-hmm. So you open up the app and it already shows you a video. Like, you don't really have a chance any other way.
Yeah. Well, what I've noticed too, like, if I don't open the app, like, let's say all day, I'm like, I haven't been on TikTok. I've talked about something that day. It's the first video. Like, let's say I've talked about a restaurant, like that will be the first video up there. Or if I talked about someone, they would be the first person on my page. I mean, on my app when I open it.
Yeah. It's definitely the creepiest algorithm, I'd say.
Like, I love it, but I hate it.
I mean, it's like up there with like that Bezos creepiness a little bit too. Like that Amazon creepiness, you know, when you say something and then like,
it's right there.
It's right there.
The
ad's
right there. That happens to me all the time with Instagram.
Like, my roommate has Alexa plugged in at our house, and I'll say something. And then, like, you know, I think once every week or something, Alexa will just say something back. I'm like, I didn't talk to you.
I know. I was there that time. It was really creepy.
And I unplugged it immediately.
Yeah.
I'm like, shit, you've been listening to all my conversations, haven't you?
I don't have Alexa.
So, pretty creepy stuff.
That's really weird. Yeah. Okay, so next question. I know a lot of people ask, like, what were your rules? Did you follow certain rules? I feel like everyone has different rules with social media detoxes. What were your specific rules?
So my specific rules were no YouTube, no screen time in general. So, like, no YouTube, no TV, no movies. I could call and text because it was for work and email. But
and obviously contact.
You know I hate calling and texting anyway. Like, the only thing I like is calling because it's just quick. And I can make plans. I don't have to text back and forth. And yeah, just like no YouTube.
No, that was probably time. The hardest for you. YouTube and the TV.
No, YouTube was definitely the hardest for me.
Yeah.
Like, TV sucks because I love TV. Like, a really good show. I love a really good show.
Yeah.
But we'll get into it, especially, you know, as the journey goes along and how I felt in the first couple of days. But YouTube was definitely the hardest because... Mm-hmm. You know, we'll move on to the next question, but I think it kind of addresses that.
Yeah. Okay, so next question is, what were some highs of your experience?
Okay, so it's the next question, I think, after this.
Yeah.
Like, the challenges. So, I think initially with having a social media detox is you begin to realize quickly that you have a lot more mental clarity. Like, you're able to actually form sentences again. Whereas before, you couldn't form a complete thought because other people's ideas were dominating your mental cycles. You know, you get memories that resurface from childhood, which was really crazy because some things I haven't remembered and I couldn't believe that they even existed in my memory. Like trips with my dad. You know, I was highly motivated. Work became a lot more fluid for me. Other things that I noticed is that smells became more vivid too. Like, I was able to smell things that I did, I mean, maybe it was because I got COVID and my smell's recover, but for the most part, I'd begin to notice these things a little bit more when I want to walk or something. Instead of listening to a YouTube video, my mind was able to actually focus on my environment around me. Smells, sounds, you become more locked into your more primitive state, you know?
Which is so crazy and interesting, because that just shows, like, these things are happening, like, the smells are there, but we're just so focused on our phones. People are going on walks when they're outside. All I see is people looking down, and, like, there's times where I'm super guilty of that, but I really, like, if I'm spending time outside, I try to be intentional, but it's crazy, like, you can be so disconnected, even from your senses as well. Yeah,
exactly, and your brain prioritizes things that you focus on most of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're constantly looking at your phone and looking at your email or looking at social media, you don't really have much time to experience the present moment.
Mm-hmm.
When you walk down the street and you're thinking about work or you're listening to a YouTube video, your mind doesn't have the mental cycles to smell, like to experience smells. So it happened like 3 or 4 days in where I was like, oh my God, all these smells are resurfacing. Which is really interesting, because you don't really think of it that way, that not only is social media dulling your experiences with other people, but it's actually dulling your day-to-day and moment-to-moment experience and your connection with the present.
Mm-hmm. What makes it exciting is the smells and all of the things around you. And what was interesting, too, is when you consume so much online, like I found myself not as much anymore, but just being obsessed with information and learning more and more, especially when I was like in the health and really into health and really into wellness and learning so much, that that's all I could do. I was doing and saying what other people were doing and saying.
Right, exactly.
And so you become like all these other people, and you have to take a moment and say, well, what's actually me? What are actually my own thoughts?
Yeah, and sometimes when you're on your phone too much or you're on YouTube too much, whatever, the line begins to blur between your own thoughts and those who are influencing you.
Mm-hmm. You begin to develop the same humor as your favorite comedians
that you watch
and podcasters and all of that stuff. And
that's right. You'll pick up their characteristics.
You develop their language. And
that's happened to me. I think a lot of my humor has been developed over people that I've listened to in my life, prominent comedians or, you know, even some of my funnier friends. I'll pick up some of their cadences. I think that's pretty much natural. But you don't want to actually become somebody else. That's when things get dangerous, is when you no longer have your own thoughts. You're just regurgitating the thoughts of other people. And if you go really far into that, you start getting into the weeds and the rabbit hole of, like, if you're constantly on social media and listening to other people and you don't have room for your own thoughts, that's when you start to believe in all sorts of crazy conspiracies and you go down this weird hole, and then you start to become alienated from your friends because they don't believe in your, you know, wacky conspiracy, and all of a sudden you're listening to Kanye too much, and now you're, you know what I mean? Like,
no, it's true. I didn't think about it. Like, it can go to like such an extreme that it's like become just a product of what other people are saying, which I know to an extent, like, we are a product of our own environment. Like, when is that moment when you actually disconnect from your phone, from social media, and you're like actually with your true self and going on a walk with no distractions, or just sitting with yourself? Who are you in that moment?
Who am I in that moment?
Yeah.
And also, think about all those thoughts that are coming through. Like, if you're thinking about what everybody else is... So, if you're constantly thinking about what someone's telling you online, when do you actually have any time to sit down and critically analyze those bits of information that are given to you? You don't. I mean, most of those things that you hear, you're moving on to the next thing. Oh, you know, there's a conspiracy about this. Okay, absorbed, believed it, understood it. Next thing, I heard something about this, or, you know, ashwagandha is going to cure all my issues. It's like, you know, it just becomes this never-ending cycle of other people's, you know, ideas and their motivations to influence you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the issue, I think, initially. Like, one of the biggest issues, I think, with social media is you don't have time for your own thoughts and develop your own outlook on life.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. The reason why I like social media is because there's so much information. You're exposed to so many people, but that can also backlash and be an issue. You are exposed to too much information and people that like, you become like almost addicted to that.
TMI.
Yeah. Okay, so we went over some of the highs. What challenges did you face?
This is a little bit more interesting. I think, like, work kind of became a replacement for digital stimulation in a way. That's something you had to point out to me. Like, instead of being on my phone, on social media, on YouTube, work kind of became the dopamine replacement in a way. And so I actually didn't expect that. I thought I was just going to get addicted to something else. Honestly, that was my theory, is I'd get addicted to reading, which actually I did kind of fall into a lot. I mean, I read 700 pages of The Lord of the Rings in 3 weeks. Like, that can't be healthy. But
I mean, that is good, though.
It's better than the alternative, right? But it was still fun, and we did things like that together. You know, we went to the park, remember that? A couple times.
We went a few times.
Lit some candles.
Yeah.
You know, just
try to get creative with some things.
Got creative.
Yeah.
I was drawing, which I never do, and I actually enjoyed it. So, I mean, challenges, though, is first couple days was really difficult. Because even if I wasn't acutely aware of the fact that I wanted to be on my phone, my hand would just reach towards my phone reflexively.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would just go towards my phone and type in YouTube, and then I have to catch myself. I'm like, what am I doing? Mm-hmm. I don't want to watch anything, but it's my instinct. It's like my reaction now. And that was really damaging, I think. Just to realize that in the first couple of days made me realize, like, think, okay, time for me to really set some boundaries. Like, keep my phone away from me from the entire day. And that's when after like day three or day four, I did not feel any need.
That urge.
Yeah,
it was like that little, like the first few days, the hardest. And then you kind of like build that new habit and routine.
It really was. I mean, you know, I'm like a broken record on this, but sugar is 10 times more addictive than cocaine. I don't think that social media is as addictive. I don't. I think you can step away from it. The problem is when you get back onto social media, it's like, where do you go from there now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a more difficult conversation and something that I'm definitely not qualified to answer on. Like, you do realize that you can implement some sort of self-control. And you also realize that there is a way out. You don't need to be on your phone all the time. It's just really not necessary.
Mm-hmm.
I know that, you know, in your work, in your line of work, you have to have this balance between being present, right? But also being connected on your phone. You have to be aware.
It's a very like difficult, and social media is so new that I feel like we're also kind of learning.
Yeah.
A lot. And I think that we're kind of now hitting a point where a lot of people are beginning to feel burnt out. Yeah, I think it's like an interesting space to navigate for me. Now doing this as my job, okay, when I'm doing my work on my phone, the last thing that I want to do is to be on social media consuming more content and information.
Exactly. And I think another thing too, on your, from your perspective, is like, and everyone's perspective, is if you're constantly on your phone and scrolling, it isn't pleasure. I think we have to realize that at a core fundamental level. Finding the next funny video or interesting video or, you know, something, it's not a pleasurable thing. It's momentary antidepressant. It's a momentary numbing agent.
But antidepressant's a big word to use. I would say it's an escape for people.
Yeah, that's a better word, I'd say.
I think it's an escape for a lot of people. You had a bad day, or it's kind of like, you know, alcohol or...
Yeah, it's not an antidepressant. Yeah, it's like, more of a, like a numbing agent.
Yeah.
It numbs you for a minute. You can scroll aimlessly and you don't have to really think too much.
Yeah. It's like when COVID-19 was happening and there were a few comedians who were still making comedy content and not speaking up about COVID. We're like, okay, well, COVID's already so depressing. We're going to help numb the pain by just still making normal comedy content, because that's what we want to see when we go through tough times. So sometimes that's what social media is for us. It's an outlet. It's a way for us to feel excited or, you know, feel connected to a community. If you're someone who maybe doesn't have friends and you feel connected to people online, so you watch their content. Like, I used to be like that. I didn't feel super connected to my friends when I was like 18, 19. We weren't into the same things, and I was kind of leaning towards like veganism, and I have a lot of vegan friends, so I found myself going on YouTube all the time because it felt like they're my friends. I got to hang out with them, and we were trying all these vegan restaurants.
Right, exactly.
So there's a lot of reasons why people use social media as an escape.
Yeah, and you know, I think for the challenges, as things wore on, you know, and I delved more and more into reading and spending time with people, quality time with you, right? Mm-hmm. I felt much happier and present. I really did. And it's not to say that it didn't come with challenges, obviously. But being away from Instagram and from Snapchat, like, you know, it was really amazing.
Such a Gen Zer with the Snap.
I know, I know. I mean, I've had Snapchat forever. And it's great because it allows me to stay in contact with, like, my college buddies.
Yeah. No, it's different.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just, like, don't talk to anyone from high school or college, so.
That's true, yeah. I'm still very, very connected with my college friends.
Yeah. I think that's the hard thing, is you don't want to miss out on friends and, you know, people getting married and someone's having a kid or, you know, you just found out, like, unfortunately your friend has cancer, and it's like you miss that information, and like that's how we stay connected. Even though we're not directly talking to these people, we can see what's going on in their lives.
And then it makes me look almost callous.
Yeah, and you're like, well, you didn't know, you didn't reach out. You're like, I haven't been on social media.
But who are you supposed to tell everybody?
Exactly.
But so that's something that I'll talk about at the end, I think, a little bit, is how to actually start this process and the housekeeping you have to do before mm-hmm. you start.
Yeah.
Because there is housekeeping to be done.
Yeah, we'll get into that one. Okay, so next question is, what was your emotional state like during this?
I was much more present, much more aware of what was going on around me. I'm a naturally very forgetful person, honestly.
You are?
Yeah. Okay. Not cool.
I'm playing around.
No, I know, I'm kidding. But I think that it really helped me stay connected with the present moment. So a lot of the forgetfulness that I would carry with me during the day, because I was so concerned with what was going on around me or my career, or my friends or my family, whatever, it melted away because I was able to be in the moment. Mm-hmm. I was able to meditate a lot more, which is something that I think needs to be a consistent practice as opposed to a quick fix. You know, oh, I'm stressed, I need to meditate.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Oh, I'm anxious, I need to meditate. It's like meditation is a muscle that you flex like everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't really derive the benefits until you institute some actual formal practice. And that's my opinion on that. Other people may have different experiences, but for me, I think there needs to be some kind of regimen to it. So yeah, you know, engaging with meditation again, and instituting some formal practice has been a great thing.
Yeah. And overall, like, you felt happier, more present, more connected to the world around you, yourself,
your all relationships. Of the above.
Yeah.
All of the above.
That's good.
And if you ever need me to take over your social media for a couple days and you want to try it out.
Yeah, you'll be my manager.
I'll be your manager. I'll completely tank your brand.
Instantly. Alex will come onto my stories. Hey guys, Autumn is taking a little break. It's going to be boyfriend stories now. I'll take you through my morning routine.
Those AI filters are becoming pretty ridiculous though. I might be able to fake it, you know, just fake your face or something.
Fake me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on. Create an Instagram story filter.
Mm-hmm.
My face.
I think everyone would believe it.
That's funny. All right, next question. What did you make room for during this process?
So I made room for everything else. I mean, you know, social media, YouTube would consume a lot of my time, more than I care to admit. So, you know, situations where I'd miss out on events with friends because I was on YouTube or some stupid stuff like that, where I just wouldn't even think about obligations that I would have. Like, I would delay making plans with people because I wanted to watch something or because I wanted to be on social media. Like, missing out on life, which is precious, you know, and it's not something that you can just throw away by being on your phone too much. Mm-hmm. Like, we really have to realize that we're given an opportunity to experience the world around us. And when you think about it that way, that we're just like matter experiencing itself. I know it sounds really hippy dippy, but
it's true.
But we're given a gift.
Yeah.
And
to even exist.
To even exist.
Like our existence, and then we spend it on. It's like, it kind of like reminded me of WALL-E.
Yeah.
All the people that become like attached to their screens.
WALL-E was a perfect example of that. Yeah. WALL-E was like, and that's why you bawled your eyes out so much.
I cried so much. I just WALL-E. Watched it for the first time. I was a mess. I was also like about to start my period, but I was
Eva.
A mess.
Eva.
Yeah. No, WALL-E was crazy. And all those, you know, those people on their sitting down on their wheelchairs watching TV, and they had to get bumped by a machine to realize their own humanity.
Yeah.
It's these little pleasure hits that they were getting too.
Yeah.
Oh, sipping on your drink. Oh, it tastes good. Taste. You know, watching your screen. View.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always a never ending cycle of I wake up, I consume, I eat, I look, I, you know, see, I'm always so ingrained in what's happening right in front of my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you look right in front of you, like us at our phones, the less you're able to experience the bigger picture in the world around you.
Mm-hmm.
You're so focused on instant gratification that your attention span gets narrower, your connections become less meaningful, and the deepness and richness of moments and moment experience begins to fade away in, you know, a sea of distraction.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that getting away from my phone has helped me with that, which is just being more connected and present with the world around me. Now, that's not to say that I won't relapse into watching a lot of YouTube for a couple of days or something like that. We're human.
And I think it's kind of the world that we live in, and to like give ourselves grace, and
it's kind of
our reality.
Yeah. But just to know that you can do it,
right?
And to be able to feel that control over yourself for 30 days, I think it's a really transformative experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I suggest that everybody go through it.
Yeah, at your, like, you can create your own rules, even in, like, setting more phone boundaries, like not being only being on my phone between this time and this time. And, I mean, on the iPhone, too, they have the timer on each app, mm-hmm. and you can do that as well, and I think that's super helpful.
Right, yeah, there's a timer.
And I did not have my screen time on up until you started actually doing your social media detox, because there was so much shame around me being on my phone that I didn't even want to know the number. But it is really helpful even just having the timer. Even though mine's short and I need to change it, 15 minutes is just not long enough. But even just seeing that go off and off and off, I'm like, wow, okay, I'm spending a lot of time on my phone. And I didn't even realize that. I'm like, oh, I'm only on it for X amount of minutes. I'm like, no, there's hours that I've been on it.
Right. Another thing, too, that I think all of us can relate to is your time limits are not doing anything. Let's be honest. You yeah. set it. You set a time limit for yourself, and then what do? Immediately you break it. You say, no, until the end of the day.
We like to do the bad thing.
Yeah.
We like to break the rules.
We like to break our own rules.
Because who's going to hold us account? Who's going to get mad at us? Like,
ourselves?
Who's going to come after us?
Ourselves?
Yeah.
No, and I think that kind of gets into, I don't know, what's the next question we have here?
Next question is, was there anything that surprised you throughout this process?
Okay, so we'll get to the other thing. But so I think we went over most of it, like with what surprised me. What definitely surprised me is how much I was thinking about myself. when I was on my phone all the time.
What do you mean?
It's just me, 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 me. Because in the end, you're looking around at what all of your friends are doing and everything, but at the end, you're just comparing it to your own experience.
Right. Oh, this person is on this trip, or why am I not on that trip?
Well, yeah, and it doesn't even really have to be a FOMO thing. It's just like, how does my friend's life relate to my life right now? How do they fit into my picture?
Right.
It may not even be, oh, I'm jealous of what this person is doing.
Right, and not it's, like comparison.
It's sometimes it's just, should I talk to this person again? Should I reach out to them? Should we do something together? As opposed to thinking about, how are they?
Mm-hmm.
How's their life going? I wonder how they're feeling. You're constantly thinking about yourself in the context of your phone. And when you do something like a compassionate meditation where you sit down and think about someone for 4 minutes, 5 minutes,
mm-hmm.
right? And you're thinking about, you know, you think all these positive thoughts like, may you be well, may you be happy. Right? These are things that you don't think about generally.
Mm-hmm.
So even sitting down for 5 minutes and doing a meditation on compassion, right? Or doing a walking meditation on compassion, you're walking past people and saying, I hope you're well. Even in your own mind, just, I hope you're well. I hope you're feeling good. Those are the things that change your brain over time to be a more compassionate person. Those mm-hmm. neural connections are being reinforced.
Mm-hmm.
Being happy, being calm, being present, being thoughtful, being gracious. You don't have time for that when you're on your phone too much.
Yeah.
And when you're watching too much TV.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Where's the time to develop compassion for others? Which is the heart of meditation.
Yeah.
And it's the heart of, you know, the Buddhist philosophy in the end.
Yeah. And even like making more room for that, if like you're out and you find yourself on your phone, instead of being present and observing people and watching, going to the dog park and watching all the dogs run around, which we like to do, or just watching people exist and live their life. That's so fun, and that's entertainment in itself. Like, you don't have to be on your phone for that. Like, there's so much.
Some of the best moments we had was when we were at that little bluff watching dogs.
There's a dog meetup near us.
During sunset. Yeah, the dog meetup. We didn't even have our own dog. So we were just the creepy parents.
Watching all the kids run.
We're just like, we have no dog. But we were like, you know, wishing we did, I guess.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but that is true. Like, when I think back to our memories, like, those stand out, not us scrolling on TikTok and watching funny videos.
No. In fact, we don't remember any of that.
I don't remember any. Movies, yes, that's different. Like, having, like, watching a really beautiful film or...
Because you are present with it when you're watching a beautiful film. Because
there's a story. Like, there's an art to it versus sometimes... social media, there's a lot of great, amazing, creative people who create, like, food videos we love to watch and, like... The creativity and the passion that goes into it is inspiring, but yeah.
Because we can make it, or we can think of something to make.
Yeah.
And it inspires creativity.
Yeah. Okay, so next question is, after the detox, what changed for you?
Yeah, I'm just much more aware of the impact that, you know, constant scrolling, YouTube has had on my quality of life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's allowed me to reflect on my relationships, my friends, my family, and made me take stock of where I am in life. Like, do I want YouTube and social media to become a theme throughout my entire life?
Mm-hmm.
That's a genuine question, I think, for everyone to answer to themselves. I don't want to scare people. That's not what this is meant to do.
Yeah, I think it's just setting boundaries and being mindful.
Being mindful. Like, how much of the day do you want being taken up by social media? Write that number down, I'd say. Like, write it down.
Yeah.
Like, literally, sometimes you have to set some limits.
You do.
And boundaries. Because it's going to affect, it affects people's mental health. There's a mental health crisis right now due to social media.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are other factors, but just look at the statistics. Teens, you know, looking at social media, comparing themselves to other people. How can that possibly be good for people?
Yeah.
When I was tutoring, and you know, some girl who was
Backstory, Alex he has his own tutoring business.
Yeah. So I was doing more of the tutoring aspect, especially when I was younger and I was having 5 or 6 clients a week. You know, some girl who's in middle school, she's talking about one of her friends who has this and who has that, or like she's talking about social media, you know, and how she wants, you know, this new dress. Like, it's a constant cycle of comparing themselves. How can that possibly be healthy for a developing mind? You know, and our minds are still developing.
It's a lot. It's a lot to take in. I think I'm even like thinking back to when I was younger in middle school, we had was flip phones. There wasn't social media. There was MySpace. And, you know, even something like that, like there was comparison. So I can't even imagine, you know, being in elementary school, little kids on TikTok and social media and looking at other kids and what they have and how other people live. And even seeing the younger generation of girls, 12-year-old girls acting like they're 18, 19, 20. I'm like, all the makeup that they're wearing and the clothes and trying to be sexy. And I'm like, where's the fun of being a kid now? They see all these girls on social media and they aspire to be like them.
They're being forced to grow up a lot faster.
I think so too.
And in our generation, you know, we were still...
Back in our day.
Back in our day.
It sounds like we're so old.
I was walking 10 miles bare feet in my... you know, my pajamas to get to school. We didn't have anything back then. I mean, you know.
But it's true. Even just if, like, not that long ago.
Yeah.
Even 10 years ago. My 10-year high school reunion's coming up. I was 17 10 years ago. I'm like, life then, like social media then. I remember Instagram, like, was still kind of new.
Well,
we started using it my junior year of high school.
Yeah.
When I was 16.
For all of the millennial... Gen Z border
people. Yeah, like right on the border.
All the border people, everyone remembers being in elementary school and some kids had the Firefly where you could call your mom.
I thought that was so cool.
You could call your mom and you could call the police. That was me. Then you had the girl, I remember her name.
Sidekick.
Sarah, who had the sidekick.
Sarah with the sidekick.
Yeah, I'm not going to dox her, but I just remember it was Sarah. And one time... she said, Alex, follow me. We went into the YMCA, and she threw her phone in the toilet because she wanted a nicer phone.
Greedy. What did she want? The razor?
She got the razor, too, didn't she?
I think the sidekick was cooler.
She got the razor, and I still had my my little Firefly.
I never even got the Firefly.
But you know, as a kid, I was so focused on, like, traveling.
Right.
Being, like...
9-year-old Alex focused on traveling the world.
That would take me to a new trip every summer.
But it's just like so different for me. That wasn't a thing. But that's sweet.
I know, that's my privilege speaking.
Yeah.
My dad would take me on a trip every summer to a new place so that we could experience some unique area of the world.
Which is beautiful.
Yeah. It's not like we would do it in glitzy, ritzy hotels, but
no.
We would find, you know, and I still have the significant privilege to be traveling places, but we would go and experience Indonesia or Thailand or Australia or Costa Rica, go to the outback, you know, like be present with the wilderness and the world around us. That was so much more of a carefree, happy time, of course, because we were kids, but it definitely is something to look back at fondly and try and recapture some of those moments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So be a kid again, I guess, is kind of the message.
Inner child. We want to have it. We want to have an inner child day.
Yeah, or an inner child week. Every day.
Week.
So our first day, we're 3 years old, and we can't speak, so we just...
No, you can speak at 3.
And then four our next day is 5 years old, we just baby talk the entire time, which annoys everybody. And then the next day is, you know, like 7, 8, and we just talk back to our parents a little
bit.
Each day we get a little bit older. That would be fun.
Could you imagine? That'd be a really funny thing to document.
Roll down hills.
I really want to do that. I just want to eat all my favorite candy and play video games and dress up.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's do it. We can make them vegan candies.
It's cute. I like that. So last question, and then I'm going to go into the questions that people submitted, but what advice would you give someone who wants to get started?
Best way to get started is to document your journey. And get excited about it. Record a video of yourself at the end of every day and tell your friends. like tell your friends that you're about to start a social media detox, because then you're held accountable, not only to yourself, but also to your friends, you know, and tell everyone before you get on it. That's something that I didn't do, which I wish I would have done, which is tell them, hey, I'm going offline, so you're not going to be able to see me for the next month on Instagram. Don't DM me. I'm not going to respond.
Yeah.
And setting that boundary with yourself and with other people can be super helpful. So also keep in mind, it's a digital detox, not a dopamine detox. So read, meditate, two things that are helpful for your mental health, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, make room for things that you've been wanting to do.
Right.
That sound fun, that sound exciting, taking up a new hobby, painting, just getting creative. I think we've like lost touch with our creative side. We are creative beings and we've just become so distracted from our phones, and like that's how we experience fun and pleasure, and there's so many other things that bring fun and pleasure, and so
right.
Exploring options.
I think the thing to take away from this is that there's a deep richness that we're missing out on due to the constant bombardment of content that's been thrown our way. And we need to be able to disassociate ourselves from that and get back to more of a core aspect of who we are as people. So if there's anything that, you know, I would hope people that, you know, actually take away from this is, you know, just try and disconnect and set that goal for yourself and don't break it. You know, it's very easy to give yourself a justification like, oh, you know, today's going to be okay. I can do a little bit this day or that day.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's not 30 days, do 20 days. Like if it's not 20 days, do 15 days.
Baby steps.
Baby steps. But set a reasonable goal for yourself. I mean, if it's your profession and you need to be on Instagram and TikTok, put it on your computer. Put Instagram and TikTok on your computer. That way you can only access it at night. Right? You're doing stuff during the day. You're being present during the day. Then you work on your computer so you're not scrolling. There's no excuse if you're doing it on your computer, right? I don't know. I'm just spitballing here, but...
Yeah, I think it's good advice. I think it's good to get like different perspectives. I think everyone kind of has their own take on how they do this, but, you know, taking this information with a grain of salt and twisting it and doing what's best for you.
Yep.
Okay, let's get into the questions that people submitted. Okay, so one of the questions that was submitted, would you say that the urge to compare with others stopped?
Yeah, definitely. I think we all naturally find ourselves comparing ourselves to other people. I generally compare myself to other people when it comes to professional goals, whether it's money or a house, which I really want. I want to get a house. We laugh about that all the time because we'll pass houses and she'll just see me get grumpy.
His mood changes. We'll drive in a nice neighborhood and I like literally don't even have to say anything. I just look at him and start laughing because I can feel the steam just fuming out of him.
Yeah, like how am I supposed to buy this?
Like you're 25.
Yeah, it'll be fine. But yeah, it's like the best way to not compare yourself to other people is to take a detox from social media. You're going to realize pretty quickly that the only person that you're really racing against is yourself, no matter how cliche it sounds. Mm-hmm. Like you are in a competition, not with other people, but with attention, like with other people trying to get your attention. And find some space for yourself and for your thoughts. You're going to spend a lot less time comparing yourself to others.
Facts. I love that. Okay, this is a good question. Do you spend less time on your phone now?
Yeah, I definitely do spend less time on my phone. But I have gotten back into the habit of being on my phone again.
Right.
It's not like you do the detox and you just get off your phone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm back on YouTube, but I think it's manageable now because I know that I can set limits and boundaries for myself.
Did you feel like you had to catch up on information?
Yes.
Like people that you like. Yes. Like, damn, now I gotta watch all your videos and...
Yes, of course I did. I did. And it's been hard. It's definitely been hard to dissociate. Sometimes, you know, you'll catch me. You're like, hey, you're on your phone again. But
I think just in the morning.
In the morning, yeah, in the morning.
We don't need that.
I have an information, when I wake up in the morning, I am the most curious person in the world. I'm like, what the hell happened?
You'll
when
get
I
was through asleep? Like 3 YouTube videos while he's brushing his teeth, flossing, that's showering.
That's why I hate sleeping in general or like napping, because I feel like I'm missing lost out time on the world. And with so much crazy stuff happening right now, like with, you know, Kanye or this new ChatGPT thing where, you know, you can talk to an AI and it can spit back, you know, a conversation to you. It's like, these things that are happening in the world are just so insane.
Yeah.
So.
No, it's important to, like, stay informed. And I feel like, especially now, like, every day there's something new and, like, amazing things coming out. And also just crazy information about people. And you want to stay up to date on worldly things going on, whether it's positive or negative. You kind of want to be looped in. Because then when you have conversations, you're like, what? What do you mean? Like, it was on Twitter. It was on... You didn't see that video on YouTube. So, like, there's almost, like, this, like, social, like, disconnect, too, sometimes.
Definitely. And a social contract to stay informed. You don't want to be the guy who doesn't know what's up. You know what I mean? You don't want to be in a conversation and someone's like, oh, did you hear about that? And then you didn't hear about it. And everyone's like, what? How did you not hear about that? That kind of thing.
Yeah. But it's also, like, kind of fun just living a mysterious life, too. I don't know.
Well, it's better.
Yeah.
Because it's not, like, what I've learned from this detox is it's not... The more you know, that makes you happier. It's right. The more you can think for yourself, that makes you happier.
True. Okay, another good question is, how did you feel physically with the withdrawals of the phone / electronic, especially at first?
Withdrawals, it was just the grabbiness, like grabbing towards my phone, like trying to press on something so that I can, like, get some stimulation. But I didn't really have withdrawals because I think you do need kind of a community. It could just be one friend or, you know, it could be someone online, like, that you talk to occasionally. Like, hey, I'm going on this journey. I'm going to document it. And then at the end, I'm going to send it over to you. You kind of just have to have some sort of contract with somebody or with yourself to get through it.
Yeah. Okay, and then the final question is tips to get through the first week. I've tried so hard.
So getting through the first week, I could see how that's the most challenging. The first couple of days were actually the most challenging to me. And then after that, it became smooth sailing. I think what you really have to keep in mind is that you have till the end of the day to do it. Like, you just... Get, you know, do it moment by moment. Think, just try and be present moment to moment. And another thing that you learn, especially with meditation, is when you're experiencing that urge to get on your phone, recognize the urge. Just sit there and recognize that urge. Feel the urge. Understand that and be present with that moment. You can even say to yourself, I'm feeling the urge to go on my phone. I'm feeling the urge to go on my phone. I'm feeling the urge to go on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
Repeat it so that it no longer has power over you because you're actually being present with the thought itself. I mean, a thought only has power over you to the extent with which you allow it to be in your mind. If you can understand that thought, it'll go away. If you can understand anger and be present with anger, it goes away. The only reason why people stay angry is because they are constantly thinking about the same exact thing over and over without actually analyzing their mind in the present moment. So it's one of those things. And at the end of the day, you get to record what you did, how you felt. So it's a journey for yourself. It's almost a game.
Like,
you can gamify it a little bit too.
Yeah. Yeah. I find that, like, breaking a habit is difficult, but it is possible. And I like what you said, just taking it moment by moment. Like, don't think about the 30 days that you have to get through. Just think about today, right now, this moment. Be aware of how you're feeling. Even if you have to, like, journal it, I feel like writing is super helpful. And that's personally something that I really like to do. It's a good outlet. So just channeling there. And then that urge will kind of just go away when you work through that. Okay, it's no longer a big deal. I got it out on paper and I dealt with it. And now I can move on.
Right. Autumn journals a lot, and it's something that I think helps her organize her thoughts. Something I should do a lot more of, but I don't really do it. I think that's probably just not something that's been a part of my routine in my life. My dad's always told me to journal. I don't know. Yeah. I haven't done it. So documenting my experience on a paper was really cathartic.
The note cards were really, really sweet though. I liked reading that.
They were definitely really cathartic. Cool. Yeah. Like help me understand my thoughts at the end of the day. So,
right. It's nice. Cause sometimes like we have our thoughts and we know how we're feeling, but to actually get it on paper, like, whoa, okay, this is how I felt. This is how the experience was.
Exactly.
So it's cool to document it like that. All right, that's it for all the questions. I know this was a longer episode, but super informative and had a lot of fun having Alex on here, my first guest. So thank you so much for listening.
Well, thank you. I'm honored. Am I getting paid for this?
Yeah. Yeah. My guy will talk to your guy.
Really?
Yeah. You're getting that check in the bank.
All right.
Then you're going to take me out to dinner.
Sounds good. Okay. Yeah. So I'm just going to be spending all of it again?
And then we're going to go on a trip.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, sounds good.
That's how it works.
Wait, whoa, what just happened?
Okay. All right, have a good one. I'll talk to you next week.